Hello again, and welcome to our program. We're starting a series of messages today concerning the rider on the white horse that we find in the book of Revelation. We're reading in Revelation 6, verse number 1 and 2. John said, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, as we study the book of Revelation, we need to realize that, first of all, the center figure in this entire book is Jesus, referred to 27 times as the Lamb. The Lamb opened one of the seals. When we look at the seals in the book of Revelation, they're mentioned 5 times. All of them, except for the one here in chapter 6, are mentioned in chapter 5. We never are going to really understand what these seals are all about unless we carefully study chapter 5 and also compare that with the book of Ruth. The Old Testament gives us insight to the New Testament, and the book of Ruth and the book of Revelation must be studied together if we're going to understand what these seals are all about. Then we have the word thunder here, mentioned 19 times in the Bible, mentioned twice in the book of Revelation. We have the study of beast. It's very interesting that the word beast, plural, is found 15 times in the book of Revelation, and beast, singular, found another 44 times in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. Then we have the word horse. We find 8 times in Revelation, and a white horse is referred to twice, and that's very significant because the Antichrist comes on the white horse here in Revelation chapter 6. And at the end of the study of the book of Revelation, we find Christ coming on a white horse. The white horse in the book of Revelation in chapter 6 is the Antichrist, who comes on the scene and convinces Israel that he is their Messiah. We have a bow, only mentioned 1 time here in the book of Revelation. We have a crown, which is mentioned 5 times, and we're going to look at the study of the white horse in the book of Revelation, particularly in chapter 6. Now, there's 4 horses and 4 horsemen who arrive on the scene during the tribulation period. One of those horses represents philosophies, one of them represents policies, another prosperity, and another pestilences that happen during the tribulation period. Now, it's important to understand when we study Scripture that we keep it all in its context. And so the white horse of the book of Revelation, this happens during the book, or rather during the tribulation period, which is a 7-year period of judgment in this earth prior to the new heaven and the new earth. Now, the first horse gives us a picture of a rider on a white horse. We read in Revelation 6, 1 and 2, it says, "And I," that is John, "saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, a white horse in the Scripture is commonly referred to as identifying a conqueror. And this particular conqueror, he has a crown given to him. He does not ride in with a crown, but he is given the position of leadership after he comes on the scene. He carries a bow without an arrow. He will control his followers through his influence without firing a shot. An influence, the definition of that, according to the dictionary, is having an influence on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. As we said, the white horse rider is representing the Antichrist. He will present himself as Christ. We read about it in 2 Thessalonians 2, where we read, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now, Revelation 6:2 again, John said, "I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and had a crown, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, in this study, we want to focus on what I call the shadow of the white horse rider who is influencing our local churches today. Again, an influence is having the effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. The someone is the pastors in our local churches, and it's important to understand that when you look at the seven churches that is recorded in the beginning of the book of Revelation, every one of those letters are addressed to the pastor, every one of them. Look at it carefully, and you'll see it says to the angel, which means the messenger. And all of those things that we as pastors love to preach to the people in the pew, no, God said, no, I'm talking to you, preacher, and you need to tell the people in the pew about it as well after you straighten up yourself. So we're looking at the influence of the character development or behavior of the pastor, which in turn dictates the character development or behavior of the people in the pew. And so we're looking at an influence here. As I said, the Antichrist comes on the scene, as does the shadow of the white horse rider come into our local churches and influences the pastor and influences the people. What he's doing now in this age in which we are living is destroying our, were one time called fundamental churches. He's destroying our churches without firing a shot. He's doing it with a philosophy. Our philosophy of ministry is a system of values by which the church operates. Many fundamental churches are being conquered today through the values that are contrary to the Word of God. So as we look into what our philosophy, how we operate, is it our philosophy or is it the Word of God? We are warned in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, where Paul said, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, the first thing he said here is to beware. This word means to be observing accurately, to be constantly looking as in danger. Now, if we're going to observe accurately, then we're going to have to use the Word of God in order to determine what our philosophy of ministry should be. He went on to say, "Lest any man spoil you through philosophy." Any man. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit." We're supposed to look into the Word of God, let the Word of God determine who are wolves and who are sheep. But not only do we have these wolves in sheep's clothing, they are wolves, we have sheep that are infiltrating the churches. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he warned, "There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." Now, that word "bought" has been translated "redeemed" three times. Peter's talking about Christians coming in with what he calls a damnable heresy. And the damnable heresy that is plaguing our so-called fundamental churches today is the garbage that was presented by Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson some years ago, redeemed, bought persons, Christians, who said you don't need to repent. Now, that's a damnable heresy. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, you need to figure out whether you're going to believe Jesus or whether you're going to believe Jack, but get it straight. You better believe Jesus. There shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that redeemed them. And so the shadow of the white horse rider is trampling through our churches like this. And why? Because we're not aware. We're not being beware what he says here, lest any man spoil you through philosophy on how things ought to be done. And the new way is, oh, just get them to pray a prayer, and that's all you got to do. They just have to believe. That's garbage from hell. The Bible says, except you repent, Jesus said it, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible says, I command all men everywhere to repent. And so, beware. Beware, the Bible says. Well, in Colossians 2, verse 8 again, it says, beware lest any man spoil you. To spoil is to diminish the value or quality of something or someone. How are they going to do it? Through philosophy. Again, a philosophy that is arrived at by logical reasoning rather than scripture is referred to here as vain deceit. And once again, Peter warned, he said, there are spots that are blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Jude said, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you. Is it any wonder he says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, we'll pick it up here in our next program. 2 Peter 3:17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Be sure to be with us for our next in this series on the rider on the white horse.